Our scripture reading this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, where we find the case of the centurion. And we hope to consider this in relationship to the fifth commandment and being under authority. Well, please give your attention to the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5 and as far as verse 13. Hear now the word of the Lord our God. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And this servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And thus far our reading of the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of the Lord our God. Let us now turn to Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 39, which you can find in the back of your Psalters. Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 39, which you can find in the back of your Psalter books on page 75. We find here in Lord's Day 39 an explanation of the fifth commandment. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weakness and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Thus far our reading of the Heidelberg Catechism. And let us now confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And let everyone say with a believing heart and mouth, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let us now come before the Lord our God in prayer and ask him for a blessing on our worship service this afternoon. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, we come before thee in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we confess before thee, Lord, that we have broken the fifth commandment. We have not honored our father and our mothers as we should. We have not treated them with the dignity and respect they are worthy of. And Lord, even as children, we have disobeyed them, whether in actual deed or from the heart. And we pray, Lord, thou would forgive us, not only for disobeying our parents, but for disobeying all authorities over us. Lord, if we have not obeyed the government as we ought to have, if we have not obeyed those put in authority in the church as we ought to have, if we have in any way broken this commandment, Lord, we have done so grievously, not because of our parents or because of the government or because of the church, but because of Christ. For Lord, as we have seen, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto thee. And whether it is in the family, whether it is in the church, or whether it is in the state, all authority, Lord, is thine. So, Lord, teach us to have the faith of the centurion. Teach us, Lord, that we are under authority so that we indeed could put our trust in thou who doth have all authority. And help us, Lord, particularly as fathers, to model what it means to be under authority, whether it is the authority of the state or the authority of the church, or, Lord, under thy blessed authority directly. Help us to see in our consciences we are accountable to thee, and that as we would seek to be faithful to a heavenly Father for Jesus' sake, our sons and our daughters would see a blessed heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, equip us by the power of thy Spirit to follow this example of this man. And we pray, Lord, above all, that the authority of the Lord Jesus would be lifted up in our day, beginning with first and foremost in our hearts and minds as the Spirit would work. And would it be in our families as we seek to order them according to the principles of thy word? And then indeed, Lord, a reviving of the state and of the church to turn and acknowledge thee, the great ruler of the heavens and the earth. And Lord, we pray thou would care for our congregation in the midst of her needs. Open our ears and soften our hearts that we would receive the word of God with gladness, even the word that is engrafted, Lord. And we pray as well, Lord, for thy care over our families. Continue to guide us and help us. Grant strength to those who are in the midst of laboring and give wisdom for the ordering of our homes. We pray, Lord, for thy blessing on the hand of Daniel and Candace Fallon, that, Lord, as thou would will, thou would bless them with a child. And remember as well, Lord, those who are expecting children, and we pray thou would keep them and make all things well. And we thank thee, Lord, for the baptisms in recent weeks, and for the blessing of children born into the church, and for the covenant faithfulness of Jesus Christ to us, though we indeed by nature are not faithful. Let our hearts be encouraged, Lord, as we see he who has all authority caring for and healing and providing for all the needs of thy people. We ask, Lord, for thy continued care upon not only us, but upon our denomination. Remember the Heritage Reformed congregations in the United States and Canada, and grant them wisdom to continue to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus. Remember our seminary students, especially those studying for ministry in our denomination, and grant them grace and strength. And remember Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, the professors, the students, the administration, and those, Lord, who have come from all over the world to study the Word of God and to be trained in it. And Lord, without thy blessing upon the instruction done, what good would it be? For knowledge, Lord, doth not make men holy, and information and training doth not make men thy servants. But rather, Lord, we pray that the Spirit would bless it. For it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that calls men and equips them for the ministry. We pray further, Lord, for our brother Tyler. We thank thee for his diligence and for his hard work and his labor in presenting the book of Revelation to us through the weekly studies. And Lord, bless him as he has opportunities to teach and provide more opportunities to teach. And would it be, Lord, even a position where he can use his gifts to their fullest in his specialization in the teaching of the New Testament and the Old. We pray as well, our Lord and our God, for thy continued care and leading for thy people everywhere. Remember our brothers and sisters in the midst of persecution. Help them to stand strong. And whether we think of places like the Middle East, particularly Afghanistan now, or China, or anywhere, Lord, where thy people are facing direct hostility from the authorities, bear them up. And help us, Lord, when persecution would come, persecution beyond funny looks and name-calling. But if the government would seek to persecute the church, help us to stand strong, Lord, and not fear what men may do, but to fear thee, our great Lord and God. We pray again for our brother Steve Manette, that thou would bless and encourage him. And we thank thee for the friends of our church, Lord, and for those who have received a son that was lost back home again. We pray, Lord, for our young people. Remember the youth leaders and bless our time of fellowship, learning the scriptures, growing in them, and getting to know one another and to serve others better. Heavenly Father, bless us as we continue now in worship, and we pray thou would multiply the gifts that we give. Our Lord and our God, we pray these things, asking in Jesus' name alone. Amen. At this time, you'll be waited upon for your gifts and offerings, and then we will sing together Psalter Selection 243, all stanzas. Well, as we've been considering together the fifth commandment, and we've seen together who it is that has the authority, our Lord Jesus, and how all other authorities in the home, in the church, or in the government are really connected to his authority. And we saw why that authority was titled in the commandment, Father and Mother, as Father and Mother are one flesh. And then the connections between that glorious picture of one flesh and the work of the Lord Jesus and his authority. Well, we're going to consider together the fifth commandment, but this time through the example of the centurion. And we find in this man's blessed faith, in light of his position, perhaps the exact opposite of that worst of all parenting advice. The opposite example of that worst of all parenting advice. Do as I say, not as I do. Because in this blessed section, we find a man who is under authority. And because he is under authority, and is a man who exercises authority, he understands rightly the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we will see, spiritually, but also, well, in family life, if people do not see us as ones under authority, how on earth could we expect them to see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? And further, why would we expect others to be under authority, especially fathers, to expect our children to respect our authority? Well, please turn with me now to Matthew chapter 5, where we consider the comfort of authority. The comfort of authority. And we use the word comfort because comforting is what is needed in at least two ways. We could say, firstly, for the centurion, and secondly, for his servant. The centurion is concerned about his servant. He loves his servant. He has a burden for his servant. So he must go to the Lord Jesus and have the Lord Jesus heal his servant. The centurion needs to be strengthened and encouraged by the Lord Jesus as he sees his servant in need. Kind of a sympathetic pain, you may say. But at the same time, there is the reality and need for strengthening, because that's what comfort does mean, the healing of the servant. Verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came upon him a centurion beseeching him, calling out to him, pleading with him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, a paralysis, grievously tormented. What he's experiencing through is horrendously bad. It's very difficult. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. He's looking for Jesus to heal this man, to strengthen him, to restore him, to comfort him. And he is looking for the Lord Jesus to comfort him as well in seeing this man made whole. But the key for both men to find comfort, to find restoration, to find healing for the servant physically, but ultimately we will see in that full salvific sense, what is needed is a right understanding of authority. So faith, by the grace of God, will do its work. But the passage is all about authority. We see this further as how the authority is structured. Firstly, the centurion being a man under authority. Jesus has said, I will come and heal him. That's what the centurion wanted. That's what he needed to say. But then comes the issue of authority. And this is how the text demonstrates to us the great faith of this man, particularly in three ways. Firstly, the authority he's under. Secondly, the authority he exercises. And thirdly, his trusting and acknowledgement of the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority he himself is under, the authority that he displays, and thirdly, the authority of the Lord Jesus that he so evidently trusts. Well, he himself is under authority. That is what is brought forward first. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. He understands his own sinfulness. He understands, firstly, perhaps in the context, he is a Gentile. And he understands that the Jews and the Gentiles are separate. He is likely a God-fearer, a Gentile who believes in the God of Israel, but is not an Israelite himself and cannot partake of all those aspects of worship the same way. But nonetheless, there is a love and a need and a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that can heal, as the one that we'll see a bit later has authority even over him, who is a Roman soldier, who has command over men, can snuff out the life of others with a word. He says, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. He says, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He recognizes the power and authority of the Lord Jesus and his ability to heal. He doesn't even need to be there to do it, which the Lord Jesus will consider striking compared to the faithlessness of the people of Israel. But now notice the authority. The reason he gives for knowing the Lord Jesus can heal and heal with a word without actually even going there is because he is under authority. He says, verse 9, for I am a man under authority. Lord, I know thou canst do it. I know the power belongeth unto thee because I am under authority. Because I am under authority. That's where it starts. Then comes the exercising of his own authority as an illustration. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. And then he talks about those under his authority. Having soldiers under me, and I say, go to this man, go. And he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. But the first step is not, Lord, I know thou doth have the authority because I have authority. Lord, I know thou can say the word and the man can be healed because I have authority too. He doesn't say, Lord, I know thou can do it because thou art like me, because I have authority to command. That's backwards. Lord, I know thou can do it because I am under authority too. That's where it starts. Notice that's where the fifth commandment starts. Honor father and mother. We're under authority. Remember, boys and girls, whose authority is it in the fifth commandment? Is it just your father or your father and your mother? Why is it father and mother? Because it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his rule and care for his church. The fact that all authority in heaven and earth is given unto him. We saw that as well in the government. The Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, is about to ascend into heaven, says, all authority in heaven and earth belongs unto me. Romans chapter 13 said, the civil magistrate has only the authority that has been given it by the Lord. In every level, like we heard this morning, the office bearers and elders and deacons of the church only have their authority as they are gifts of the Lord Jesus to his people. Their authority is based on his. The centurion is another demonstration of that. And what an amazing lesson this is for all of us. What an amazing lesson this is for all of us. How, fathers, are our children supposed to learn to respect authority if we do not? How are our children supposed to learn to respect authority if you and I do not? Our children need to see us as men under authority. And that is a very important thing. Men under the authority of the Lord Jesus. And that is a very difficult thing. By the grace of God, we will never put ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. in the very beginning, in our first father, the first Adam, would we be subject to God's rules? He said, don't eat of the tree. And we said, yes, we will. I'm not going to be under God's authority. I'll be under my own. We saw that both for men and women. The challenges in marriage, that is the fundamental thing we must all struggle with. Boys and girls, maybe you felt the same thing in your own heart when it came to your mom and dad telling you something you didn't want to do. And you're like, I don't want to. Maybe you literally grit your teeth. Or maybe you do it because you know you'll get in trouble if you don't. But as one minister said in one example, in your heart, you're still not submitting. Dr. Joel Beakey used to use this beautiful example of a little girl standing up in the back seat of a car. And while they're driving, the father says, you have to put your seatbelt on. And she said, no. And he said, you need to stop and put your seatbelt on right now or I'm going to discipline you. And the little girl immediately stopped and put her seatbelt on. But then you know what she told her father? Daddy, I'm still standing up in my heart. The Lord wants us to submit to his authority in our hearts. And brothers, our children will never understand what it means to be under authority if they do not see we are not. You might say, well, sure they will. I will show them I am the Father. I have authority, and they'll learn to respect authority because of my authority. Is that what the centurion does? Is that God's way? No. All authority in heaven and earth does not belong to me or to you. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth is his. And our children need to see us under his authority. Firstly, as we would live lives of repentance and faith to him. And how does our lives of repentance and faith to him show we are under authority? Because they see we don't live the way we would wish to live, doing our own will, but doing his. Like the Lord Jesus in Christ tells us, John chapter 14, in many ways, different places, if you love me, keep my commandments. The children see us saying, oh no, we can't do that. We must do this. We can't do that. We must do this. Or we have to take this course of action based on the scriptures. What a blessed message it is, too, when our children see us as husbands sacrificing for our wives. When they know the situation is unreasonable and they know it's hard, but they see us sacrificing for our wives because they know we do it for Jesus' sake. But the same thing is true in church. How will your children understand to respect the authority of God and being under his word when there is no commitment to the body of Christ? When there is no putting themselves under the rule of the elders in right confession and membership, what message will be sent? I'm accountable to no one. I'm not going to be accountable to the church. I'm not going to be accountable to my parents. That is all implicitly saying, I will not be accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing when it comes to the legal authorities, or perhaps I could better say the lawful authorities. That when we are under authority, even at home, in the church, and in the state, we must be subject to them as long as they do not require us to sin. It's a very important principle. Because if we are not under authority, we'll never have our children understand authority. I've known many people in many places where there was never a demonstration of being under authority, like the centurion. And you know what happens? The children act as if they are not under authority either, at home, at church, or to the state. And all the way through, the fundamental problem is, I will not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. The fifth commandment. But what a blessing it is when there is the right submission of authority. Have you ever, boys and girls, had your mom or dad come to you and say, I'm sorry, because I treated you in a way I should not have? Maybe I disciplined you in anger. Maybe I shouted at you and lost my temper, and I sinned against you. I didn't nurture you in the admonition and fear of the Lord. Will you please forgive me? That demonstrates to you, your mom and dad not only love you, and they're humble, but they are under the authority of God. And that's why you need to forgive them, even when they do sin against you, because you're under the authority of the Lord as well. What a blessing it is when in the church we have the rule of the office bearers, and we see membership, we see submission, we see teachable hearts, we see willingness to be instructed and follow the teachings of God's word. So then our children see the need to be accountable. All children see the need to be under the word of God. And the same thing is true with the state. It's such a sad thing now. Here, I'm blessed to see the sign with the U.S. flag that is the thin blue line. I've been January 6th in Washington, and the police have to go in to try and protect the Capitol building against people who are no longer protesting, which would be fine, but they've become rioters. And these men go in there with their gear and their protection, because though perhaps a grievous injustice was done, rioting is not justified, but certainly protesting is. These men went in there and they put their life on the line. So many of them blamed for so many things they should not have been. So many parts of the country, we see things like lawlessness, where protests turn into riots, where people want to defund the police. And isn't it interesting? They want to get rid of authority. They don't want to be under authority. So they act lawlessly and do not understand the role of authority. They assume they themselves have the authority. Sad to say, even our politicians think that same way. Vote for me, I'll give you what you want. Not vote for me, I will enforce the laws of the land. When we deny we are under authority, we lose all authority. And it happens on every level of society. So perhaps the most fitting question is, are you, am I, are all of us under authority? The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus father and mother, and thus in the church, and so following in the state. And like in our homes, like it would be in the church, and sadly as it is right now in our state, we will lose all authority and there will be lawlessness if we do not acknowledge being under authority. But there is not only the being under authority, there is also the expression and exercise of authority. Because the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy, and connected it to the fact that I am a man under authority. Lord, I am not worthy, thou canst heal. I am a man under authority. But the next example, and the more developed one, and the one we often pay the most attention to, is the fact that he has authority. He has authority. He says, I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He understands authority, not only being under it, but because he's under it, he understands how to use it. And so it is with us. We understand how to exercise our authority by being under authority. That's the way it worked in marriage in the one fresh relationship. Who was the model for the husband? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who was the model for the church? Who was the model for the wife? The church. We can look at the same thing when it comes to the role of the state. We remember the state is appointed by God to wield the sword. And we can consider the church like we did this morning. Who has the authority and what does it mean to rule in the church? It means to use the language of John the Baptist or about John the Baptist. The greatest shall be the least. The last shall be first. Or, to put it yet another way, the mandated approach for all office bearers is humility, to have in them that spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ as they would do their work. It is only in that context that there is the right exercise of authority on every level. Perhaps that's another fitting question then, is do we exercise our authority? Brothers, if we are husbands and fathers, do we exercise our authority? Do we let our wives and children run lawlessly underneath us? Or do we rightly exercise that authority? It's a very sad thing when husbands do not care for their wives sacrificially and seek to have their houses in order. It's a very sad thing many of us have even seen, perhaps even at the shopping market, when our children are not in order. One of the most heartbreaking things I saw years ago in Australia, my wife and I with our young children are attempting to shop together. We thought it was a challenge when there was two of us and two of them. Now, you have everybody together, you work it all out. But I saw a cart being pushed by a couple children with stuff and other children in it, kind of half running down the grocery aisle, shouting as they go, causing a total ruckus. Behind them is the mother, in tears, not knowing what to do, as behind her is the grandmother trying to comfort her. The whole structure was wrong. Grandma and mom should have had the kids in shape, and if the kids were acting up, they should have disciplined them. The authority structure needs to be kept. And brothers, the reason I use the example that is perhaps of the children and the wife and the grandmother, because ultimately this would be the fault of the father. We are the ones that are of the ultimate authority. We are the head. So if there's problems that need to be addressed, we're the ones that have to do it. Are we exercising our authority, or are we doing like Adam did, taking the easy route and saying, oh no, it's the woman thou gavest me. And there is not instruction, there is not care. We can go through and multiply examples. At the church, do we submit ourselves to the elders and to the deacons? Acknowledge their authority they have over us? Or do we mock them to our families? Well, the church says this, but that. You know, that's just wrong. And rather than dealing with the authorities properly, do you belittle them to your children? If we belittle those in authority over us spiritually, all we are communicating to them is they do not need to submit to the authority the way you yourself do not. And the same is true in the state. Perhaps we are much more sensitive to this one given the serious nature of the problems we're experiencing in our government, where we're very careful. What we obey, what we consider, where do we draw the line? When the government starts overreaching its power according to its own laws, let alone asking us to sin, we can be much more sensitive in this context, but we need to be just as sensitive in our families, just as sensitive in the church. We need to exercise our authority rightly. And by the way, another practical example, if you're a male member of this church, make sure you're here October 3 so you can vote. It's a very serious responsibility that you need to exercise. We could go on and list examples, but we ought to use our authority. We ought to use our authority. And we all do have it in different levels, different ways. But notice, if we are under authority and thus rightly understand the use of exercising authority, we recognize he who has all authority and we trust him. This centurion is a man of faith, under authority, exercising authority, so he knows Jesus can make everything right. Verse 10, after the Lord Jesus hears this man explain his understanding authority, him being under it and him exercising it, he says, in a sense of astonishment, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He's overwhelmed at the faith of this man. This unbelieving Gentile, not one of the chosen people, historically speaking, a stranger to the things of God and the law, he gets it. He understands. Wow. He understands in a way none of the others did. According to the centurion, he understood because he was under authority. And he exercised authority. We know indeed it's because the Lord has opened his mind and his heart to these things, to recognize Jesus for who he is. Why else would he come looking to him for comfort for himself and comfort for his servant, looking for that healing? Jesus says that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. To be a Jew is ultimately, as Paul would say, a spiritual thing, not a carnal thing. As the Lord Jesus would tell the Jewish people that were rejecting him, don't be so proud of being of Abraham, because God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. Don't confuse being genetically of Abraham as that Old Testament picture of the spiritual reality of being one with God by faith. After all, Jew or Gentile makes no difference now. The dividing wall has been brought down. All God's people are one in Christ. One church made of believing Jew and believing Gentile. The children of the kingdom, it says further, shall be cast out into outer darkness. The Jews who rejected their Messiah, if there is no repentance, they will be cast out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And like we could see from Romans chapter 11, even if you're born in the church, raised a Christian, but you do not repent and believe and acknowledge the authority of the Lord Jesus and look to him for your comfort and your salvation, it doesn't make a difference how good you did in Sunday school or how outwardly righteous you are. For you, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does the Lord Jesus say to the centurion? Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And notice how this all fits together. In the witness of the life of the centurion, and in the teaching of the Lord Jesus demonstrates, as he is under authority, he exercises his authority. And as the Spirit works, faith recognizes he who has all authority and can deliver from any trial, any circumstance, can take away your sins. As indeed, to bring in some information from some of the other healings, you know what the word to be healed or to be made whole means? It means to be saved. Means to be saved. Behind the picture of every healing when someone is made whole is the idea of salvation and the full deliverance Jesus was bringing. That's why it's so beautiful in the accounts where the Lord Jesus does his miracles so they will see the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Behind every picture of physical healing is a picture, a testimony of his authority to forgive sins and bring a much more important healing, a spiritual one. A one that is nonetheless done by faith. By faith. Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Being under authority, rightly exercising authority, leads to trusting authority. Very clearly in the text. Notice, being under the authority belonged to the centurion. The exercising of the authority belonged to the centurion. The recognizing the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ belonged to the centurion and is then set on display for everyone to see. You might say the Lord takes this blessed opportunity to see what we've seen. The fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment, as it is all about him. and his authority. But in this beautiful way, he has done it. It demonstrates to us we ought to be under authority. Are you rebelling against the authority in your life? Against the Lord? Against your husband? Against your wife? Against your parents? Against the elders? Against the government? If you are rebelling against that authority, you are simply defying the authority of the Lord Jesus. And further, you are communicating to those around you that they don't need to be under authority either. That's why families fall apart. That's why churches fall apart. That's why societies fall apart, because there's no recognition of the authority of Jesus Christ. But when there is a right recognition of the authority of Jesus Christ, personally, in families, in churches, in the state, what do we find? Healing, salvation, deliverance. And as I began using the illustration, strengthening, comforting, all of what we're truly looking for as a society, as families, and by the grace of God, even as individuals. Let us keep the fifth commandment as our Lord Jesus teaches us, according to the model of the centurion. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, continue, we pray, to open our eyes to the Lord Jesus and his place and might, that we would see wonderful things out of thy law and live, Lord, as a chosen people in this sinful culture. Help us, Lord, to honor Jesus Christ by following his word, so that indeed our families would show forth that blessed work and that great work of salvation. We pray, Lord, for that further grace going forward through this week, and continue to encourage us, we pray. Lord, forgive our sins, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.